Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 23. We have two readings, just two verses in our first reading, Luke 23. And then we're going to go away to the book of Genesis. Luke 23, please, verse 32 and 33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Let's turn into Genesis chapter 11, please. Beginning to read at verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Really interesting and wonderful pieces of scripture. Let us pray. Again, Father, as we bow our heads in your presence, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for his doing and dying, his finished work on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that we can come in this free and full manner before thy throne of grace this evening, knowing that you are God who hears and loves us. We thank you, Lord, for this great salvation which is so full and free. We thank you, it's all found in him, Christ alone, who is our cornerstone. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would bless each and every one who has come tonight. We are aware that it's a bank holiday and many are not here. But Lord, we thank you for everyone who you've brought under the sound of the word this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the choir and for Matt. And we thank you, Lord, for their giftings and their talents. And we ask you to bless them, Lord, abundantly and encourage each and every one of them. And Father, now at this time we ask you, Lord, for these allotted moments that you would shut us in with thyself, and use my lips for your glory. Take me up in your spirit, and anoint me with fresh oil, that I may preach the wonders of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and the glory that is to come. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our second reading in Genesis chapter 11, from the days of Nimrod, which we read about, we see that man displays his own heart, his own ability, his own genius, his own ego, and the capability to construct towers and buildings and landmarks. Genesis 11 and verse 4, we read of the building of the Tower of Babel. It says, "And they said, go to," notice, "let us build us a city." and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Notice the us is there. It's all about me. It's all about I, or the word for I is ego in the text. Ego in the language. Notice here it's about man's ego and who man thinks he is. Man thinks he's okay before God. Man thinks that he will reach heaven on his own works and whims and wills. Man's ego is prevalent in all that he attains to do. Here fallen man tries to reach heaven, as I said, by his own genius, his intelligence, by constructing the tower. Notice where it's going, to reach heaven. Now, whether they thought they were actually going to reach heaven or not, well, that's a debatable argument. But they were building a tall to reach into, as it were, the heavens. And this, of course, is, we know today that it is impossible for you and I to reach heaven. Heaven is unattainable through all of our works. I want you to catch something. This Babel or Babel down through the years becomes known as Babylon. The region, the area, the city of Babylon. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah. Please, Isaiah chapter 14. I want to take a reading. I want to show you something in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 on in verse 12. Notice what the Lord says through the prophet. And who is he speaking to? He's actually speaking to the king of Babylon. But he's not just speaking to the man, the king of Babylon. He's speaking to the power of Babylon, which becomes, as it were, the great dragon in the book of Revelation. The great dragon who gives his power to the beast. And here we have the Lord speaking to what is known as the great dragon in later scriptures. But here it is, the man, the king of Babylon. Verse 12, he's speaking to the devil behind him. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You take note of these words. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, notice, I will ascend into heaven. This is known as the five I wills of Lucifer. Notice the first one. I will ascend into heaven. Nimrod in years previous said, let us make us a city on a tower to reach unto heaven. This same spirit is prevalent throughout all of Babylon, right through until today. The same demonic spirit, the same devilish, satanic spirit is in the Babylon spiritual today. Take note of this. The five I wills. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. And this goes right the whole way down into today, where we're told that even in the Roman Catholic faith, that the Pope sits in the place of Christ, the Most High, as we heard this morning, the one from everlasting to everlasting. How he's called the Holy Father. How he's called God on earth. How he is the forgiver of sins, bridge builder between man and God. Notice the bridge builder up. This is part of it all in this day. Notice the theme goes from Genesis right through to Revelation. I will ascend to heaven. And he doesn't ascend to heaven. Notice, Babel would become what is known today as a tourist attraction. Because the city, they left building the city, and the city later, Babylon, it becomes absolutely destroyed. Very little to none of it, but rubble had been left and covered with the sands of time. But notice this. People flock to a tourist attraction. It's a wonder of the ancient world, it is called, where thousands would go to see this wonder, its construction, but there's nothing there. And there's nothing it can do for them, but the spirit of it still lives on today. Stay with me, please. These men and women with their imaginations, their interest would be captivated, and hence many would want to know what is left of Babel or Babylon. Notice if you'll go back to, if please, to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. They said in verse 4, go to, let us make us a name. They want their name to be exalted high. Want their name to be lifted up. They want their name to be a powerful name. They want their name to be adored and reverenced. And these people are trying to build a heaven. And take note in chapter 10, if you will, just across the page, in chapter 10 and in verse 10 and in verse 11, look at what it says. He was a mighty hunter, that is Nimrod. Let's read verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty hunter, a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Notice, see the term mighty hunter. Some think, well, what's wrong with being a hunter of the land? Feeding your family. And that's not what it means. It means for all who wouldn't bow to the rules, the regulation, and the worship of Nimrod as the sun god, and his wife Semiramis, who was the moon goddess. Unless they bowed the knee, unless they worshipped at what, if you want, at government level, whenever they called, people were to come running. Whenever they shouted, people were to do. And unless they did, the idea of hunter means he was a hunter of men before God. He hunted men. And this follows right through time, even as we've seen like the Spanish Inquisition through time. And all of these things that happened through time. The spirit of Nimrod, the spirit of Babylon is still prevailing in the sense in the earth today. Now take note, if you will, of this. Nimrod, he was a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the word here is, he was a mighty hunter in the face of God. In the face of God. You know, when someone gets in your face, when someone does something blatantly before you, in your face, this is the idea of this. Nimrod hunted down the people of God. Nimrod hunted them down, persecuted them. And that is still today where you'll find it. It is still persecution for the people of the Lord. This ancient wonder of the world, as I said, was soon destroyed by God. He visited it. And think about this. You're talking about visitors. You're talking about tourist attractions. God visited it. And God destroyed it. And scattered the people. It says in chapter 11 and in verse 6, and the Lord said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Would you say restrained? It meant that there's no depths they wouldn't go to. There's nothing they wouldn't do. There's no depths they wouldn't be restrained. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. And so God scatters the people abroad upon the face of all the earth. And a landmark called Babel is only found in 9 verses of Genesis chapter 11. And so we read about it and we read all that is left, even today, is what's known as the ancient hanging gardens of Babylon. And you can go and visit that, and they flock to see it. Flock to see what Babylon was like when they're living in it. Spiritual Babylon is all around us. And here it's the Hanging Gardens of Babylon alone is left. There's no sign of them. They're gone. God visited, God judged, and God has dealt with them. Notice, they're like flowers. And this is what it's like. It's like flowers on a grave. In Babylon. It's just like flowers. It's a garden of flowers on a mass grave of time where bodies were extinguished. That's where mankind ends up. Someone puts flowers on a grave. Maybe if your family love you enough, they'll give you a nice headstone. But all there is left is the Hanging Gardens in Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 18 verses 4 and 20 said, the Lord says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And what are we to do with ourselves since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? What are we to do with ourselves? What hope does man have? What hope does a woman have of reaching heaven? Let me take you, if you'll stay with me, to some of the feats of man in the earth. And these attractions and what it took just briefly to build some of them. See man's prowess. Now, listen, I'm not against going to see these either. I'm trying to make a point here. Let me take you to Egypt, in particular to Cairo, to the ancient Memphis. The wonder is the Great Pyramid of Giza. Do you know recently they have found that under Giza, there's a lot of spiral columns going on over 600, I think it is, 80 feet down under the ground. They've only found it out in recent months here. And there's big blocks, they don't know what it was for, and underground ways under that again. But we're talking about Giza itself. Listen to this. It was 481 foot high. It was the tallest structure on earth for 43 centuries. It consists of approximately 2 million blocks of stone, each stone weighing an average of 2 tons. They say there's some blocks weigh up to 18 tons, but mainly they are in average 2 tons each. And it's been suggested that there is enough blocks in Giza's 3 pyramids to build a 10-foot high, 1-foot thick wall the whole way around France. The whole border of France. Maybe we should knock it down and build one around these islands. Anyway, let's get on with it before we get in trouble. The area of these great pyramids can accommodate St. Peter's in Rome, the cathedrals of Florence in Milan, in Westminster, London, and St. Paul's in London combined. That's the size of it. And such a wonder that people flock to see it. Secondly, there is the ancient wonder of the temple of Artemis at Ephesus. Antipater, the poet of Sidon, said in one of his books, but when I saw the sacred house of Artemis that towers into the clouds, the other wonders were placed in the shade. For the sun himself has never looked upon its equal outside of Olympus. This temple has been called the most beautiful place on earth. It was built in honor of the Greek goddess of hunting, of nature, of fertility. She was known, now take note, as the goddess, the moon goddess. The moon goddess. Her other name is Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. It is here where Demetrius the silversmith, he came against the apostle Paul and the preaching of the word of God in Acts chapter 19. Here Paul was in prison because of it, because of this moon goddess, her worshippers. This is Diana. It is from here, It comes from Babylon, steps to Greece, and from Greece it goes further west. Now take note, if you will, of this. This is where we have from Semiramis and Nimrod. Nimrod dies. She falls pregnant and says that it is Nimrod reincarnated and has a boy called Tammuz. Tammuz is the one who walks through the fire. And Tammuz, she says, they are to worship the son of Nimrod, come from the heavens. And the sun, S-U-N, in the sky. Ready? The sun, the S-U-N in the sky. The sun is Nimrod in his glory. Now you have the son of Nimrod, son Nimrod in his glory. You have the mother, Semiramis, and she becomes known as the goddess or the moon goddess. The sun, you have the moon. You know what they're doing? They're robbing Israel of its glory. In the book of Genesis, Joseph comes and Joseph says that he has had a dream. And he tells, as you know, I'm sure, the dreams of the fat kind and the thin kind, and the fat eat the thin, and so on. And he comes and he tells his father. And Jacob says, he then tells of the dream of the stars, how there's 11 stars. Joseph was the 12. 11 stars. And the 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowed down to worship Joseph's star. And Jacob understood these things. For remember, Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. They were astrologers. These people knew the gospel, as it were, in the stars, but didn't know Christ or the God who made them. And so Jacob would understand, and this is what he says in the book of Genesis. We haven't time to turn to it. He says, shall I and your mother, the sun and the moon, that is, shall I and your mother and your brethren, the 11 left, bow down to worship you, Joseph? And so God always tries to rob, or pardon me, the devil always tries to rob God of his glory. And in Revelation chapter 12, there's a woman there. And that great dragon is back again, as it were. And the great dragon, we're told, that he persecutes the woman. She has a child. The woman isn't the Roman Catholic Church. The woman isn't the Protestant Church. The woman isn't any church. The woman is ancient Israel. Now scattered over the nations, and their westward migration and their tracking. And there the spirit of Babylon goes after it. And the dragon follows hard after it across what's known as the wilderness. And there we're told that the child is caught up to heaven because he was what? Ascended to glory. Brothers and sisters, all of this symbology, the woman had a crown of stars in her head. The woman had the sun and the moon at her feet. Typifying ancient Israel. And so we find here, whenever we find all of these, the cult of Artemis. And this Diana, the goddess, in other words, cult of Artemis attacks the gospel. Attacks Paul as he's going. Because remember, the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go to the east. Holy Spirit says, you're not going east, you're going west. And why go west? Because Israel went west. And the gospel followed after them. And Jesus says, to go not into the ways of the Gentiles, but go after the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And now as the gospel goes west, Paul is preaching. And this Demetrius in Acts 19 stands up against him. Stands up against the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That old spirit of the dragon. That old spirit behind it of Nimrod. That antichrist spirit has been following right through. And so when we get to here, we find that this Artemis, this temple of Artemis, this place of demonic and satanic and sometimes barbaric worship, this Diana or Artemis, the, the goddess, the cult of it is against God's word. There were 112 pillars or columns, 60 foot high each, all adorned with gold and bronze and silver and statuettes with various beautiful works of art adorned the temple also. Surely a wonder to behold. But here's something I want you to catch hold of that is prevalent to you and I this evening. NASA, you know the space people? NASA have had two ventures, and they're called Artemis 1 and Artemis 2. They say they want to go to where? To the moon. See the word NASA? It comes from the Greek word. It comes from the word meaning to lift up. Remember the flood came and the ark, it says, and the waters bear up the ark in Genesis chapter 7. You know what the Hebrew word is there too? It's NASA. To bear up, to lift up. They take the word and say, we're going to look out. We want to go further. We want to find. We want to, it's about us. It's about our name. It's about our wills and our wants and our ways. Let us build us a city and a tower that reaches unto heaven. They say if they get the moon, they'll be able to hop, skip and jump, so to speak, to the Mars. I think there's a wee bit of a distance for them to go yet. That's if they can get there. Notice, if you will, we have also, and I have to fly this, we have also the Colossus of Rhodes. It's a giant structure. Some say it was beside the harbour of Rhodes. Some say that over Strasbourg. If you've been to Rhodes where the harbour comes in, the 2 feet would have been on each side. Some say it was at the side. And it's 330 foot high of a man holding a torch. You know what the torch is? Gives the idea of the shining one like the Statue of Liberty. As you go into New York to the harbour, oh, isn't she wonderful and it's lovely looking. And there she is there. Do you know that is from a satanic ritual? That's after 33 degree masonry. And it comes from also from here, from the Colossus of Rhodes. He represented who? The sun god holding the torch. The sun god was called Helios. And this is what they say, this Colossus of Rhodes, this man is Helios, the god of the sun, which is really Nimrod, the Antichrist. It fell in 226 AD, and the feet were left, and then Arabs came in the 600s, I can't remember, I think it's 628 or something like that, and they removed the feet. No sign of it left anymore. But you know what Helios is? It means the one above. The one above. Or the shining one above. What does Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 say? What does the Lord say to him? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? Lucifer was the shining one. You see it all in the earth. Man's invention. What about the lighthouse of Alexandria? Or Stonehenge? Or the Wall of China? What about the Twin Towers? The Twin Towers are now, of course, destroyed at 9/11. We know that. But the world, the Twin Towers, is they're known as the World Trade Center. Isn't that right? World Trade Center. But really, it should be the world, it is called the World Trade Complex. You know why? Do you know how many World Trade Centers there are? around that area, and many were destroyed. There were two towers. There was another building in the middle. The building is called Complex Number 7. There were 7 World Trade Centers in the whole complex. Number 7. Notice, if you will, with this. In one of the towers, each of them were 110 stories high, and one of them was 1,368 feet tall. The second one was 1,362 feet tall. So there is, 6 feet of a difference between the two. 6 is the number of man. Man in his depraved and fallen state who cannot attain heaven, although they thought it when they built it. Now here's something. In its place, this big tower that is now there, it is called the One World. Strike any bells or alarms ringing? It's called the One World Trade Center now. Do you know how tall it is? 1,776 foot tall. Does that ring any bells with you? Well, 1776 was when the 13 seaboard eastern colonies of the United States of America signed the Declaration of Independence and broke away from Great Britain after the War of Independence. And 1776, and for those of you who know it, I can't go into it, I've done it before, I'll do it again sometime, was the 7 times punishment, the end of it, of the 7 times punishment of the northern kingdom of the house of Israel. It was the end of the 7 times punishment. So brothers and sisters, a lot going on, and even in buildings and programs, and you take aerial photographs of Washington, they're built like a pentagram and different sorts of things. All because man thinks in his imagination and in his evil thoughts. The Empire State Building on 355th Avenue and 34th Street was just 14 months in the making. March 1930 to May 1931, it is 102 stories high. It has 37 million cubic feet capacity of volume. It costs $40,948,300 to complete. It took a workforce of 3,400 staff, 7 million man hours, 1 day and 45 years, including Sunday and holidays, to complete. A modern wonder. Brothers and sisters, when we look at this, how far will man go? You know what the Lord says? Chapter 11 of Genesis, please. Chapter 11 of Genesis. And the Lord said in verse 6, behold, the people is one, they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Want to see man's imagination? Go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, just for a few verses. Paul says in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed where from? Heaven. These people are trying to say they can claim heaven, attain heaven, and get to heaven. But I tell you, the wrath of God is coming from heaven. If you want to see their imaginations, stay with me then. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and foolish, their foolish heart was darkened. They became vain in their imaginations. Don't need God until the place is, I sit as God on the earth. I sit as God on the earth. You want to see how their imaginations go? Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, they served self instead of serving God. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That is, they became, as they call it today, lesbianism, and more to that effect. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. In other words, homosexuality. And it's gone even further than that. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, no wonder. No wonder they're against the gospel. No wonder they can't retain God in their knowledge, because they know that one day they'll stand before him. And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. We're seeing plenty of evil things being invented today, aren't we? Inoculations and vaccinations and all sorts of things. All evil things are being invented. Backbiters, haters of God, despised, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I wonder what your liberalized woke ideology church would say about that. You're meant to know it because you know the Word of God. You have the Bible before you. I wonder what they say about these things. This is the same spirit that's affecting our people even this evening. Let's go back, if you will, please, to Genesis chapter 6. Let me get a drink. I'm going to have to round this up soon. Is everybody all right yet? All okay. Sure, it's holidays, isn't it? And the church is fasting, you can't go for an ice cream. Verse 6 says, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. I want you to see here, there's a conversation in heaven. Verse 3, they said one to another. Verse 4, they said, go to, let us build. And then there's a conversation in heaven in verse 6. And the Lord said. See, that's what they say. And they say this, and they say that, and they point the finger, and they tell you what's what, and they tell you how rotten you are, and terrible you are, and hard you are, and unchristian you are. It's what they say. They say, we're building, we're doing, we're amalgamating, we're ecumenizing, we're doing this, that, the other. And they say this, and they, we're going to build a tower to heaven. We're going to do it together. He says, but the Lord said. But the Lord said. What does God's word say about you this evening? What does God's word say about me this evening? What the Lord said. That's the difference. It's what he says, not what we think. For time's sake, stay with me, but in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, Michael the archangel says to Daniel, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the end of time. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. This word knowledge, the Hebrew word gives the idea of something that's good and bad. Knowledge can be good, knowledge can be bad. But it gives the idea of there's those who will be cunningly wanting their own knowledge. Ignorantly having their own way. Unawares to what they're doing and the danger they're in. People unaware of the danger they're in and what they're doing before God. In fact, this word knowledge, the word knowledge is a word, and it's the same word where the Lord says to Adam, of all the trees in the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge, it's good or it's evil. And the Lord says, if you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. You see, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's all of us. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I want to finish this and close up with this. Started with our opening reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 32 and 33. And Calvary is only mentioned by Luke. It's Golgotha in the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and John use the word Golgotha, place of the skull. So that's why I brought you to Luke. There's a story concerning the cross. And the story concerning the cross is about these people who go over to Jerusalem and over to the Holy Lands to look around it, to see some of the sights. To see some of the wonders that they've heard about and read about even in the scripture. And as they're going around, they have a tour guide who takes them and guides them and leads them through it. This tour was one time passing through. It went through all the cities, it went through the deserts, it went from the north and it went to the south. I came to a place where the tour guide was saying, this is the Pool of Siloam. Gives them the details of it. Coming across maybe somewhere else in Jerusalem. This is the Via Dolorosa. Gives them the details of the Via Dolorosa. This is Pilate's judgment seat here, and gives them the details of Christ before Pilate. And all of these are fantastic and they're wonderful, and he shows them all around it. And after a long time, we're told, a man at the back shouts, show us Calvary. Will you show us Calvary? For Calvary is the wonder of the word. All these wonders are okay to look at. But Calvary, you know, I've shown it before where I think Calvary is in the Mount of Olives, but people debate where Mount Calvary is today. And there's nothing there. Nothing to show for it. He says, will you show us Calvary? How can we show you Calvary? show you Calvary by the preaching of the Word of God. Show you Calvary by the teaching of the Word of God. We show you Calvary by depending on the Spirit of God. Lead me to Calvary. Of every place, and yet I'm at Calvary right now. As I speak of it, I'm as if I'm before the cross and there he is. We're at Calvary at the foot of it, even right now. Not geographically, but in the spirit, we're in Calvary. See, Calvary is a place which makes every other place in the Holy Land and in anywhere else null and void. Calvary is the place where it even makes everywhere in the city of Jerusalem of interest. What's the use in going to a garden tomb? What's the use of looking at a mount called Olives? What's the use of walking down a Via Dolorosa? What's the use of it if there was never a Calvary? What's the use of anything if there is never a Calvary? You see, it's Calvary, the place of the skull, the place of execution, the place outside the city walls, the Calvary, the place of where the transgressor and the accursed can be forgiven. It's Calvary where the Lamb was crucified, where the Son of God hung and bled and died, and it's Calvary where his precious blood was shed. Calvary. Without Calvary. Without Calvary. When I say Calvary, I mean without the finished work of Christ on the cross. When I say Calvary, I mean without his precious blood, without all that he has attained and done for us that we might be redeemed to God again. Without Calvary, then we're lost. Without Calvary, we're on the broad road to destruction. Without Calvary, we're on our way to a lost eternity. Without Calvary, you and I have no hope. We're hopeless. Without Calvary, the world is in darkness. Without Calvary, we have nothing. Without Calvary, we will end up in a devil's hell, a lake of fire. Without Calvary. But thank God for Calvary tonight. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the precious blood. Lead me to Calvary. Never mind the wonders, or the ancient wonders, or the new wonders, or the attainments of man's hand. Never mind the Hoover Dam, and never mind the big dam that surrounds Holland that the country doesn't flood. Never mind it. Lead me to Calvary. It's the most important thing in a person's life. It's the most important thing for a person's soul. Calvary is the provider of our blessing. Calvary is the place where man meets God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary is the place where we're brought from darkness to life. Calvary is the place where our sins have been washed away. Calvary is the place where Jesus paid the debt that we could never pay. He paid a debt he didn't know. And Calvary is the place. Calvary is the mount. Calvary is the place where I come from darkness unto life. From life and on further to glory. He's bringing me and he's bringing you to heaven. I can't reach it. Heaven's coming to me. Heaven came in the person of Jesus. Glory to God. He came to me. He came to me. He came to me when I couldn't come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me.
He came.
wonderful Savior, so is Calvary. Calvary is the wonder of the world. Calvary is the wonder of heaven. Calvary is the wonder of the universe. Calvary is just the wonder. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Come back. Did you see, talking about reaching this heaven, did you see the ship that went up with all the women on it? Only one I've ever heard of was that woman, Katy Perry, because she used to be a believer. First of all, that ship, if you look, I'm not trying to be crude or funny here, but it looked like it was like part of a phallic worship. And with these ladies, these women in it, and they go up to whatever height they're allegedly had gone up in, and they come down again. If you dissect that girl, Katie, a 6 minutes and something longer interview, I got it on YouTube and listened to it. It's full of esoteric worship, New Ageism, and it's full of Satanism. Here's something I was wondering. How many people would go up to so-called the stratosphere, wherever the high up their legs they went? How many would go up, women would go up there and when they come down, they've got a full face of makeup on? Really? Did anybody notice that? Anybody see that interview? Who's seen the interview? Did you notice the face? I mean, like, as if she's going out to do a show. Go watch it. They went, who goes up and comes down? I know it was only 11 minutes, but who thinks I'm going to put lipstick on and makeup on to go up and do this? So here's what I'm thinking, you see. Did it really happen? Or is it a stage show again? Let us reach heaven. Let's tell the people and put them under control. Folks, there's so much on it, so much going on. I haven't time to go into that. Listen, choir, would you come up? The Lord bless you as we really enjoyed your ministry.